Appreciate the good songs. Appreciate the special that Sister Spurgeon sang for us. Always good to see her come, and she never fails. If she's asked to sing for us, she's always willing to. And thank the Lord for her. Appreciate everyone that has come out tonight once again. You know, sometimes we sit here and we look like, well, we're not going to have much of a turnout tonight. You know, the attendance is down. And then just people keep on just sort of coming on in. And I feel like we have a pretty good crowd tonight. Thank the Lord for you. Appreciate our visitors that have come to worship with us, to work with us, and that's what we want you to do. We want you to work with us. Center friend, we don't want you to give up. You that's been seeking the Lord, just keep on keeping on until you find him. He can be found. He can be found. So just don't give up. I feel awful weak tonight, so I need your prayers. Seem like more than ever. So, y'all just pray for me. I'm going to begin my reading lesson in the second chapter of Acts, first verse. But what I want to do, I want to back up just a little bit here. Just sort of touch base on a little bit that's what was going on. See, Jesus has done been resurrected. He done walked upon the earth for about 40 days after his resurrection, and he ascended up into heaven. And it says that his disciples, you know, they went back. They went up into this upper room. And you know that it says that they were in one accord, that they were together in their prayers and supplications. They were in one accord. And church, that's where we need to be tonight. We need to be in one accord that we can pray together and work together, serve the Lord, work that these lost sinners might be saved. I've mentioned that a lot during this revival. Church, let's work. Let's obey the Lord. We've talked about that. Talked about obedience. But they had met his apostles, and some of them talked about Mary. You know, different women had met in the upper room. It says that there was probably about 120 that was numbered among them. And then they felt led, Peter felt like that, you know, we need to call upon the Lord. We need to choose one to replace Judas, the one that had betrayed Jesus. And they cast lots, and Matthias was selected to be the one to replace him. And then chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, it goes on. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set up on each of them. And they that were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans. And it says, how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and other dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and in Asia, in Phrygia, in Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? But others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And what he's talking about the prophet of Joel, Joel had prophesied about the Holy Spirit, about how God would bring his Holy Spirit upon his people. And I want you to think about what they thought about these people when it says, you know, were they drunk? Were they drunk of new wine? The scriptures start to tell us and teach us that when they started hearing, it said they was speaking in tongues. And this ain't a jibber-jabber that some of them want to say and call this, that they're speaking in tongues. It says that there was a man from there was a man from every nation under heaven. And it spoke about some of the different nations that were there. Said it was devout man. I believe when it's talking about devout man, that they were godly man. When it spoke that they were devout man, they were man, I believe, that served God from every nation under heaven. So a lot of us, that we think about in these foreign countries, in these third world countries, that, you know, we need to, you know, the missionaries need to go out. We need to send missionaries that they might go out to a world that has never heard the gospel. Well, my belief is that they heard the gospel at one time. Because God's word says that there was somebody there the day of Pentecost that when they heard these men talking about the things that God had done and the works that God had done, that there was somebody from every nation, okay? Devout man, godly man. So when Peter stood and Peter started preaching, And that's when he started preaching. He started preaching about Joel, about the prophecy of the Holy Spirit to come. Way back then, Joel knew that God was going to send the Holy Ghost, and he's going to send the Spirit of God upon his people. And we go on and we think about him preaching about that. And you know, every man from every nation, they had different languages. But when they were standing and they was preaching, they understood, no matter what their language was, they understood what Peter was saying. That's how powerful a God that we serve, that he's able to take one man and speak, even though he was a Galilean, but every man from every nation understood exactly what he was saying. There wasn't no confusion there. They heard what he was preaching, and they heard the things of God. But then we go on a little bit further down here. It says that, 14th verse. Says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, hearken not to my words, for there are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. They were not drunk, people. They were filled with the Spirit of God. People that aren't raised in this kind of teachings, what we're our teachings, our doctrines, where we talk about follow the Lord and follow the Spirit of God. The Spirit is real. It is given by God. When you see somebody stand up and they testify, or somebody stands up and shouts, it's the Spirit of God that's filling their heart up. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, and that we are joint heirs of Christ. If you've been saved by the grace of God, the Spirit bears witness, the Holy Spirit that came down from heaven, that filled these men up. They wasn't drunk. They was filling the Spirit of God. You that are lost and separated from God, that you that don't know Jesus, that Spirit that was left, that Spirit that came down from heaven, it talks to you. You can feel it. You can feel it. When you become lost and realize that you're lost and there's something going on in your heart, and we talk about the storm that stirs up in your soul, that's the Spirit of God dealing with you. That's the Spirit of God calling you to say, come, come to me. Trust in me, believe in me. That's what's dealing with your heart, is the Spirit of God letting you know that you're lost and you're separated from him and that you need him in your life. Now, there's another time that Peter also stood, and he says that, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles. Brother Miller talked about a lot of the miracles last night that Jesus had performed. He said, God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and wherefore knowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and that I should not be moved. Here Peter was still standing and preaching to him. He told him about the prophecy of Joel, about the Holy Spirit of God, and then he started preaching Jesus. He started preaching about the one that was crucified, the one that was slain. All these men from different nations still heard Peter preaching the Word of God in their own language. They heard and understood what he was saying. And we go back, the verse that I read here, he says, and David, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. I made mention the other night, and I talked about those that were saved before the Messiah come. Those that were saved before Jesus came into this world, before he was made flesh, before he was manifested, before he was born a babe and walked upon this earth, that there were men being saved, there were people, the human race was being saved before Christ was ever born. You go back over 1,000 years ago, and Peter was talking about David. The verse that I read, he was talking about Jesus. I want to read it again one more time. Listen. He said, I foresaw the Lord always. Even before Christ ever come, he was looking ahead that the Christ, the Savior, was coming for us. And he was saved because he was looking toward the future, that there was a Messiah coming. Peter was preaching the word. I tell you something. There was a time God called all 12 apostles. And God called Peter. Jesus called Peter. He was a fisherman. And he wanted to be the fisher of men. And Peter, sometimes I feel like if I'm any of the apostles, which I am not, sometimes I feel like my nature, sometimes my thoughts is more like Peter's than any of them. But there was times that Peter thought he was bold and that he was strong, and he'd always stand for the Lord, and he'd always do what the Lord would have him to do. There was a time when a great storm come up out on the sea after Jesus had fed thousands of people with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. Then he sent them away, and they went out on a boat, and a great storm come up, and it talks about how rough the sea was and how rough the water was. And they were all on the boat, and they were scared, and they feared that they might even lose their lives, I guess. But then when they looked out, they saw something out up on the water, and they thought it was a ghost. And it was Jesus. It was Jesus walking out on the water, coming to them. Peter said, "Jesus, let me come out there with you." And I'm paraphrasing, and I'm saying it in my own words, but it's still the same. "Jesus, allow me to come out there with you. You're walking on the water. But you, let me come out there." And he says, "Come. Come on." Peter stepped out of that boat, started walking on that water. But then he started looking how rough that water was around him. Fear come into his heart. He lost sight. He took his eyes off the one that was in control. He took his eyes off of him. And he began to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." He was awful bold wanting to come out and walk, but then when he got out there, he fell apart. He fell apart. But Jesus reached down with his hand. He reached down with his hand and he pulled him up. And he saved him. And he took him back and put him on the boat. See, friend, sometimes maybe that's what you're doing. You feel the Holy Spirit of God calling you, and you feel Jesus calling you, and you know you want to be saved, and you want to do what Jesus is telling you to do, and you come to the altar, and you start praying, and you got your eyes, and you got your heart focused on Jesus, and you're almost there, but you take your eyes off of him. And then you start drifting away. But the thing is, you've probably never come back and said, "Jesus, save me." You know, he took his eyes off of Jesus there for a while, but then he put his trust back in Jesus pretty quick. Then he called on him to save me. "Save me, Lord." And Jesus reached down and he saved him. Well, I tell you what, when you're seeking the Lord, you might lose your thoughts. You might think, you might lose what's going on in your heart because sometimes there's so much stuff going on around you. Don't act like Peter, and because the water was boisterous and he feared that he might drown. He looked around and saw that water was rough. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. When you're seeking after Jesus, don't take your eyes off. Keep on that narrow path and keep going to him until he reaches down with that hand and pulls you up out of that marred clay. And saves your precious soul. Then there was another time, Peter. Jesus talked about him being crucified, losing his life. And Peter stood up and said, "Lord, I'll stand with you. I'll die with you. When you die, I'll die. I'll fight for you. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll fight for you." But Jesus says, "No. You're going to deny me. You're going to deny me." And then when they went out and arrested Jesus, they brought him in before Pilate. Peter was standing out there. "Hey, you're one of them, ain't you?" "No, I don't know that man." Then another time, another one asked him, "Ain't you one of the Galileans? Don't you know this man, Jesus?" "No, I don't know him." Then another asked, because Jesus told him, "Three times you would deny me." But Peter told him, "No, Jesus, I wouldn't do such a thing. I won't do that." The third time he was asked, "No, I don't know that man." He feared for his life. feared for his life. He denied Jesus 3 times. The cock crowed. That's what Jesus told him. Jesus told him ahead of time what was going to happen. But Peter didn't believe him. But something I want to say, the point I make about all that, I believe the day that they met at Pentecost, the day that they were in that upper room, when that Spirit of God come down there, Peter had already been saved. But I tell you something, he was a changed man. Because after that, he did stand boldly. He talked about, he was preaching to those of Israel. He was preaching to the Jews and stuff, the ones that had slain Christ. He didn't fear for his life anymore. He was ready to stand boldly and preach the word of God. He didn't care, I don't think, if he was going to lose his life. He was going to do what God had called him to do. And when that Spirit of God come down, it gave him power. He didn't fear man anymore, I don't think. He sure didn't fear those that crucified Christ, because he was preaching his heart out to them. And the scriptures go on and teach us. Let me read it. 36th verse of Acts. He said, therefore left all the house of Israel, knowing assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. When Peter was standing and preaching the word of God, their hearts was pricked. Their hearts was pierced. Their hearts become contrite. Their hearts become broken. They were troubled because they heard the true word of God as Peter was standing and preaching it. And verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You say, wait a minute, preacher. You said that Peter said, just repent? You didn't understand what I explained to you earlier. Yes, we do preach repentance and we preach faith, but he didn't even mention faith here. He said, repent and be baptized. But you didn't understand, I don't guess, maybe if you didn't really understand what I just read, he talked about faith before he ever said that. He did. Back to the verse I read earlier. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. We're talking about King David, over 1,000 years before Christ ever come. And he said, I foresaw my Lord. If Christ hadn't come and he foresaw him and he was looking, he had faith, did he not? Amen. He had faith. So we've been preaching repentance. We've been preaching faith to be saved by the grace of God. So Peter didn't mention faith because he done preached about it. The people already knew what they needed. They needed faith just as David had faith. But he also went ahead and told them, but you must repent. You must have a change of heart. You must have a way you look at yourself. You must look at yourself as a sinner and that you need a Savior. And then after you repent, and then after you have that faith that you're supposed to have, then the Lord saves your soul, and then it's required for you to be baptized after that. That's what Peter was saying here. Peter wasn't saying repent and be baptized and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost, that baptism is going to do it. Baptism does not save your soul. Amen. It don't happen. Some might want to read that into it, but that ain't what Peter's saying. Peter's saying repent and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And when you do, when you're saved by the grace of God, then you should be baptized. I'm glad that these that have come, that have told that the Lord has saved their soul, that they've come when Brother Miller's opened the doors of the church, that They've come willingly doing what they're instructed to do. Join a body of a church. Testify. Tell what the Lord has done for you and be baptized. Amen. And Peter doing all this preaching to every man under every nation. It says that 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls. But it didn't end there. If you go on in the scriptures and read a little bit more, it talks about how they got together and that they were in harmony. They was in one accord and they were praying together. Their cries, their supplications were going up. And they said continually from that time on that there was those that was added to the church. Hear that? There was continually souls being saved and added to the church. We have one that has told us that he got saved years ago. He's being added to the church. We have some that told us that they just gotten saved recently. They're being added to the church. So you see, God is merciful. You have the opportunity, you that are lost and separated from God, you that have never been saved by His grace, you still have the opportunity to be saved and added to the church. Because He hadn't come back yet. I've told you that I'm going to beat it in your heads till you get it. You need to be saved and added to the church, or you're going to die and go to hell. That ought to scare you to death. I'm not telling you anything that you ain't already heard this week. I told you I'm going to pound it in your head, hoping that once and for all that you realize the great danger that your soul's in. You're in great danger. Great danger. I want to read something else to you here. 1 John 2:15. We've made mention, talked about the world. This is what the scriptures say. This ain't Brother Buddy speaking. This is the Word of God. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Hadn't Brother Miller and I talked about give the things up of the world? The love of the world, the things that you're holding on to that might be standing in your way? That you haven't got to that place where you can trust Jesus and be saved? That's the love of the world. There's something you're holding on to. Let it go. Another verse I want to read here, and I'm going to close. It's in the 22nd chapter of Revelation 17. It says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Says, come. Not something that you got to pay for, but freely. Come. It's what the Word of God said. You that thirst, not thirst because you want a drink of water back here at this water fountain, but because you need to take care of a thirst that's in your inner soul. There was a woman that come to a well. She had trouble understanding that. Jesus says, if you drink this water, you never thirst. It's the salvation that Christ can give you if you would just turn it over to Him and let Him have it. Surrender all. We sang that song. Sister Laura sang it the other night, I believe. Surrender all. It's what you got to do. You got to let the world go. The thing that you hold on to, you got to let it go. And when you do, I'm telling you, when you let go of the things that stand in your way, the Lord will save your soul and you'll never thirst again. Not spiritually. You won't never have that spiritual thirst. It'll be taken care of. You might need to drink out of that fountain back there, but you won't never have to drink again spiritually because once He gives it to you, it's there. And I want to tell you something else. Once it's there, you're going to know it's there. No man's going to be able to tell you that it's there. You're going to know it's there. No man can take it away from me. It's there. It's going to stay. Salvation. No man can take salvation from you. We're sealed until the day of redemption. Man, when we're saved by the grace of God, it's there. It ain't going nowhere. It's everlasting. It'll get you into heaven. It'll get you there. Trust me. Believe me. Trust them like they trusted Peter, a man from every nation under heaven. There were people around, 3,000 souls got saved because they believed the true word of God. They believed that when Peter was preaching Jesus, they believed who He was and what He was and what He did. You're going to have to believe that too. You're going to have to believe that too. I made mention earlier about these men from every nation, from every country. There was somebody represented, devout man. And I believe when they heard the gospel preached, when they heard Peter preaching the word of God, when they heard Peter preaching Jesus, it was their responsibility to go back to their nation, to go back to their countries and spread the word of God. It was their responsibility to preach Jesus. And you know what? It says they were devout men, so I believe that's what they did. But you know what? Eventually, these nations and countries, some of them never accepted it. Some of them never probably believed it. Some of them may have. But you know what? As the years went on, God's word started getting watered down. And it got watered a little bit more. And it got watered a little bit more. Then it began that all it was false doctrine and heresy. They started worshiping other things besides the true and living God. They lost and didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Some believe He ain't nothing but a prophet. Some believe He's just a man. Some believe He never existed. Some believe in other gods that cannot hear. Makes me think about the big contest at Mount Carmel when Elijah had a contest with the Baal's 450 prophets. They worshiped the king that could not hear. They worshiped a God that could not hear. And they called upon Him because they had a contest. They're supposed to take a bullock and put it up on this altar and they soaked it with water, several barrels of water, and told them to cry out to your God and bring fire down. Well, their God wouldn't answer. Because you know what? They served a false God. False gods cannot answer. False gods cannot save. False gods cannot do anything for you. But Elijah called on the true and living God, the God that we serve, the Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Elijah called on Him and fire came down and it burned up the sacrifice. And it didn't just burn it. It said it just dried everything up and burned it all up. That's the God that I serve. That's the Savior that I know, that's able to do all things, that are able to answer. One that can save. The prophets of Baal, they said they'd just start cutting themselves, and they was crying out. They was tearing their clothes off, trying to get their God to answer. But a false God cannot hear. A false God can't do it. They're nothing, okay? They're nothing. But I serve an almighty God that still has a prayer. The scriptures teach me that he is an unchanging God, that he saved these souls that we've had this week. He can still save souls tonight. You can be added to the Lord's church if you would just trust and believe God's word. Amen. It seems so hard, and we've heard that from some of you. It seems so hard, and we feel so helpless, but all we can do is preach and pray for you. We can't save you. We'd love to, but we can't do it. But I know one that can. I know one that can. Lord, help you that you just trust in them and believe in them, that you might be saved. Because I'm telling you something, people. I'm telling you something, sinner. He's waiting on you. Amen. He's waiting on you to trust him. That's all you got to do. You just got to trust him. Peter preached the word. I've done about the best I can do. I felt weak tonight, and I still feel weak. I feel so helpless. Because I'd love to see these souls that have been seeking the Lord to be saved, but there ain't nothing I can do. All I can do is preach the word and try to give you instruction, and the rest of it's left up to you. Nobody else. Sinner friend, let the Lord have it. Let the Lord have it. I'm telling you something. Even this hour, even this minute that I speak, hell is enlarging herself. Every time a person dies that is not saved and they go to hell, the number is becoming great all the time. And hell is enlarging itself. It's growing and growing and growing. I don't want you to be numbered with these people. I don't want you to be numbered with these that would never trust and believe in the word. I want you to be saved. I want you to trust in Jesus. Be covered by that blood. Told you, heaven is real. Hell is too. You got a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. That means a hell that you can escape from, but you can go to heaven if you believe the word. If you trust in the word with all your heart. With the heart. With the heart. Brother Ronnie, Sister Janet, sinner, some of you are confused, I think. Some of you don't really know where you stand with the Lord, that you're just not really sure. Ask the Lord to show you. He will. Ask the Lord. Beg the Lord to show you. If you've been saved, ask the Lord to take you back to that place where it happened. He can show you. He's able. And then at the same point too, if you know you ain't been saved, ask the Lord, what is it, Lord, that's standing in my way? What is it, Lord, that I just can't fully trust you. What am I holding on to? Some of you felt like you've done everything you possibly can. But I want to tell you, you haven't done everything you possibly can. You haven't done everything yet. If you had, you would truly be saved, because you would have truly trusted in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You would have truly repented toward God. Have you truly repented toward God? Or are you just trying to have faith and that's all there is and you're not even trying to repent? Or are you trying to repent and not have faith? They work together. They work together. For you to ever get saved by the grace of God, repentance and faith, it has to work together. You've got to do both. Maybe just doing one or the other, I don't know. Or maybe it's the things of the world. Or maybe you're to the point, I don't know, maybe you just don't really care. You're trying to show us you care, but maybe you just don't really care. We don't know. But I'm giving you a warning. I'm giving you a warning tonight. You better get it taken care of before it's too late. Better get it taken care of. Brother Ronnie.
Number 185.